You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wrapping up your week here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast, Tyler Aki and Tim Leonard with you every single weekday, a little later today on this Friday, so hopefully we're joining you on your commute home or however you listen to your podcast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Also, give us a follow on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. We've got a poll about Boeheim's Army up that we're going to address the results of that at the end of the show today. But John Wildhack, athletic director of Syracuse, met the media not too long ago and talked about a number of important things, including the succession plan with Jim Boeheim and the new era of name, image, and likeness. So we're going to dive into that. I think we start, though, today, Tim, with the succession plan and the way that he kind of laid things out. And listen, he can't beat around the bush with this. He knows that when Case is announcing his step down and Roy Williams is retiring, he has to have some sort of answer, because it's going to come up all season long with him. And whether it's going to be something that it gets addressed at the end of the year or in 5 years, I mean, who knows with Jim Boeheim when that time might come, but at least he seems to have some sort of plan in place. And yeah. I think, judging off of what he said, it's not necessarily going to be an in-house hire. It's going to be an in-family hire.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think this is great, first off, that he addressed these questions. First off, it's great, I guess, that people were able to ask him about it. And then we got some relatively honest answers here. I'm not saying this is groundbreaking news, but it's the questions everyone has been wanting to know, is what is going to happen when Jim Boeheim retires. And he was pretty forward-facing about the whole thing and said, look, there's going to be a time when he does retire and we have to be ready for that. And he also basically said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing here, of just like, this is going to define my legacy, essentially. I think he's very cognizant of the fact that that is the biggest decision he will make. And we talked about it a lot recently because of the K news, because of the Roy news, and then also just the way that Gary Gate is now replacing John Desko, and he had to go through that decision and that succession planning. So it didn't have any groundbreaking news here, but I think it's awesome that John Wildhack is addressing these questions.
And it's important because we've been talking about how the lacrosse hire, big. And that is the first big move we've seen John Wildhack make as the athletic director of Syracuse. But at the end of the day, whatever Gary Gate does, he could go on and win 10 national championships. He could go on and be fired in 2 years. Whatever happens does not matter, because the basketball hire is going to determine ultimately what people think of John Wildhack and his legacy. And we know he signed that extension not too long ago, last summer. And now he's been on the job for a while. And like we kind of mentioned, it's very rare where you've got a Power 5 institution that plays both big-time college football and big-time college basketball, and the athletic director does not have to make a very drastic on-field move through 5 years of work. And this is going to be it. And at least he's got it kind of, he's laying out the ground. And he kind of spoke about how we have succession plans for all sports. And it's not just basketball. We have that research sort of mapped out well in advance. But you got to imagine the file cabinet and the folder with the basketball research and all that, a little bit bigger than the rowing, the field hockey, right, and some of those other sports.
Well, and he did talk about how they spent a lot of money on lacrosse, more than any other program in the country. And that question was asked to him, which makes total sense. I'm totally fine. I think lacrosse is, in a way, our baseball, kind of, because
yes,
Syracuse doesn't have it, and I'm all for them continuing to pour money into lacrosse. And by the way, we haven't totally addressed this on the podcast yet, but Dave Petromala officially being the assistant coach, very exciting news, and just fun that they were able to replace Desko with what I think is going to be an exciting new regime. But just for anyone that missed this conversation or hasn't seen the Wildhack presser, here's the quote that he gave when he was talking about Jim Boeheim and the successor, and I'm reading this from Syracuse.com. He said, either Jerry or Adrian are certainly capable of being a head coach anywhere in the country, But also, as we did for men's lacrosse, we hired Gary, not because he's an alum, but because we thought he was the best person to be the leader of our men's lacrosse program. We'll apply the same criteria to our men's basketball program. He went on to say that he believes those guys could be head coaches anywhere, Jerry and Adrian. I think one takeaway from this is definitely Alan Griffin's not going to get the job, because, and we already kind of knew that, but he, I don't have
he
the quote
like
in front
of me. He felt like the stepchild here, yeah.
Right, but he said something like, Alan has a little less experience compared to those guys, but he's still been really good. So the point of the matter is, he believes that they have some very good assistants that could be good in-house candidates, but he's not ruling out other candidates, which is the best way to approach it right now if you're John Wildhack.
Right, and the external candidates thing, that to me is just the mask of what Hop is, right? Like, him saying external candidates, we all know that means Mike Hopkins. And that to me, I still think it's going to be a family hire. I don't think that's going to come as any sort of shock when we do see whoever the next basketball hire is. But it lends itself into, did he tip his hand at all at what he's eyeing? And I think yes and no. Like, obviously, I think he eliminated more names than brought to the light. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Because it doesn't feel like any new information came about it. It just kind of is that it's going to be a hire that ultimately Jim Boeheim's going to have a very large say in. And
yeah,
I don't know what the timeline is going to look like or what headspace Jim Boeheim's going to be in when he does ultimately make this call. But it's going to be one that is ultimately going to define John Wildhack's legacy. Now, whether that's fair or not is a whole other discussion, but that's something that, and we've always said it, that we feel like Hop is the guy, but at the same time, I don't think any Syracuse fans are going to be up in arms if it's Autry or if it's GMAC or something of that sort, but it also kind of lends itself to, okay, whoever gets picked, whether it's GMAC, whether it's Autry, the other guy might be out the door shortly after
to
go find another venture.
And the other thing is, those guys could be out the door before it comes to being time to pick, right? Like,
right.
Boeheim is making it pretty clear that he wants to coach for a while. And it depends on how you define a while. But my point is, he's not retiring after this year. He's made that pretty clear. So let's just brainstorm. It's 3-4 years from now. It got me thinking once I read that quote from John Wildhack where he said something to the effect of, these guys that we have read in GMAC, they could be coaches already, head coaches anywhere, and be good head coaches. He's right. I think he's a little biased, sure, but they could and probably have had head coaching opportunities come their way. Maybe not elite head coaching opportunities, but if they want to be a head coach, they could go be a head coach. And you have to wonder, if Boeheim does coach for 3 or 4 more years, is it the same staff? And I know Syracuse hasn't had much turnover in their staff, but it's kind of like the situation with Hopkins. There's a chance that one of those guys or both of them could leave, and then it becomes, all right, who do you give it to? Because if you want to make the plan known before the year, they kind of have to be, if you want to do the John Shire thing, they have to be on your staff at the time. And I'm not saying it's likely or unlikely, but there is a chance, and we should all acknowledge that there's a chance that Jerry McNamara and or Red Autry are coaching at another program in 3-4 years when Jim Boeheim decides to retire. And then it becomes a more interesting question, and maybe you have a totally different conversation about what the succession plan is from that point on. All right, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action right now. Don't forget, tons of stuff to bet on at the moment. UFC's been going on the weekends. Baseball season in full swing. There's really no dead time in sports betting. Even though it feels like the summer, you still got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, US Open this weekend. You can go to their website right now, sign up for a free account. Super easy to sign up. And once you sign up for that free account, we've got a promo code for you. It is Locked On, all one word, LOCKEDON, the name of this podcast network, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's some serious savings. If you go to their website, sign up for your free account today, type in that promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag.
Hey, quick break to tell you about the best place to go to keep your car moving on the road. It is rockauto.com. You know, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why often endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? You don't know that sort of question. And wait while the counterman or woman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Why do that when you've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and also in your pocket? Rockauto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years now. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks and they'll have it delivered directly to your door. They've got amazing selection and reliably low prices. So all you got to do now is go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure that when you do make that purchase on rockauto.com, write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. The other big things that was addressed in this press conference was the whole era of name, image, and likeness. And the headliner quote is, "We're going to go through a period of turmoil." And Syracuse isn't alone. Every single program across the country doesn't fully grasp what they're getting into right now. But I do think that, and we're going to see legislation, it's going to be not a slow rollout, but you're going to see bit by bit every single state. I think right now the number is 5 of states that have passed laws that will allow student athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness starting in just a couple of weeks, July 1st. So New York is going to eventually get behind that at some point. Who knows when that's going to be exactly, but this seems like something that you are obviously going to be put at a recruiting advantage if you fully embrace this. If you're a university that does not embrace this, you're going to be behind the eight ball. You're going to lose out on recruits. You're going to lose out on coaches. You're going to lose out on everything, your marketing opportunities, all that stuff, if you do not have this in place with your university. So I think it's good that John Wildhack is getting out ahead of this. He's going out and saying that we are going to fully embrace it. I don't think he fully understands what he's getting into, but I also don't think any AD in the country fully understands what they're... It's going to be a lot of bumps and bruises out of the gate for both the athletes as well as the administration.
All right. It's like that Mike Tyson quote where you can't really prepare until you get hit in the face or whatever the expression
goes. Everyone
has
a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah, right. Like, you can't really plan for this. This is totally unprecedented, unplannable, whatever. It feels like it's just everyone is buying in together and saying, okay, it's coming. We're ready for it as much as we can be. And when it comes, probably 8 or 7 different things are going to have to change. We're going to have to pivot from there. But I love the way that Wildhack is being honest about that. He understands there's going to be turmoil. And also, I just like the fact that he comes out publicly and says, we will embrace this. Because let's face it, it's kind of the only thing you can do in this matter. If you're not embracing it, you're just falling behind to the other schools and other programs in your conference, in your division, whatever. And it does, we talked about this, it does feel like Syracuse would only benefit from the name, image, likeness thing overall. I don't think that necessarily will make a huge difference one way or the other, and it still remains to be seen. But if anything, I see it as a benefit to a school and a program that has the type of reach and the type of fan base that Syracuse already has.
Right, you can't be the old man with the flip phone here. You can't get left behind in that regard. And it's going to be interesting to see how these different universities get creative with it. It seems like right now Wildhack wants to have some sort of curriculum in place for the athletes. I don't know if that's going to be a class for athletes or what, but you got to imagine marketing departments. I've brought up the example of Notre Dame and what they have done so far, and that's putting billboards in these different players' home cities. And so it's like Notre Dame football, and then you've got, I pass it sometimes when I go to work, Notre Dame football, and then it's 4 Chicago area based guys on that billboard. That's cool. And that to me is getting creative with it. And we'll see how all of these other schools adapt. get creative. What does Syracuse have? Listen, I think Syracuse, from a creative standpoint, when we talk about the recruiting videos and the graphics and all that stuff every single signing day, they are way ahead.
No, I think they could succeed. Yeah.
And that's why, yeah, I think there can be success to be had. And it speaks volumes to the alums of the university and all that stuff and the people that want to be connected in that regard as well.
Right. We remember when we had Cole Swider on the podcast and we were joking with him that he should start a podcast and then maybe that would, if name, image, likeness clears in time, he could benefit from that. And it got me thinking Joe Girard's in Newhouse as well. I think he has aspirations to, similar to Cole, maybe be a sports broadcaster someday. I don't talk to them one-on-one. Like, I don't know exactly what they're thinking, but they're both planning to go to the communication school, right? And if you are Cole Swider and you approach Jim Boeheim, GMAC, whoever, and said, hey, I want to start a podcast, and let's just assume that name, image, likeness is cleared, which probably won't happen by the time that Cole Swider is still at school. But anyway, if a player approached the coaches and said, I want to start a podcast, recap the games, I think it could help me earn a little bit of money to pay my rent, whatever, then maybe 10, 15 years ago, you might be like, I don't want you talking about what was said in our huddle. Like, I don't know about that. Jim Boeheim probably doesn't love his players just talking all the time and having a free-flowing conversation in front of a mic. But right now, I'd say, Cole, go for it. Like, or to a potential recruit, I'd say, you can come here. We've got a great communication school if that's something you're interested in. This is just one very minuscule example. But my point is, you got to just let the kids kind of have their freedom at this point, because, and that's what Wildhack's saying, I think, when he says embrace it. They're going to do whatever they can to just make it that, okay, if you want to come play football for us and you have this idea to maybe help you make some money on the side because you're a football player, we're all for it, especially on the football side of things, where they could really use that as maybe an added layer to the recruiting that they couldn't have used before. I mean, as a recruit right now, if you're looking at Syracuse and you're Syracuse to a recruit, you got to be trying to find a way to just separate yourselves from the competition. So maybe this is an opportunity here to really go all in on name, image, likeness and prove that you're making some headway that other schools aren't in that area.
And I hope right now, I know the, and again, it's not like when these states are rolling out these new laws, it's not like they're overturning legislature. It's more they're superseding what the NCAA precedent is right now. But when I look at, so New York is not a, it's not a state that has rolled out any sort of laws permitting athletes to make money off of their name, image, likeness. But if I'm Syracuse right now, I want to have the ball already rolling so that when New York eventually does sign it into action, that you, it can be a quick rollout. It can be a quick rollout where, okay, boom, you've got car dealerships and you can have stuff going on at the mall and all that stuff. You want it to be a quick roll, so it shows your student athletes that, hey, we're looking out for you too. And that's showing you that we are fully embracing this new era and that we are fully diving into helping you guys out to, because you should be able to make money off of your name, image, and likeness. And I think Jim Boeheim feels the same way too. I know he's been against the players getting paid, but I think that was more off of a players are getting a specific salary just because they are playing the sport.
Right.
This is more from a outside of basketball. Just because you play on the team doesn't necessarily grant you X number of dollars. No, it's going to be one of those things where because you play on the team, you have this persona. And if you do have this level of fame, you should be able to monetize that. And I think every coach is probably on board with that at this point.
I think Boeheim has been pretty clear, and again, I haven't talked to him one-on-one or anything about this, but just reading between the lines of what he said, you feel like he has an opinion of, I'm ready for it, I think it should be time for the players to get paid a little bit, and he's always just said, I don't know how you do it fairly, right? He's brought up examples of, what do you give the punter if compared to the quarterback or the dive team compared to the football team. Like, he said it's a Chinese puzzle several times and that it's going to take a lot of sort of figuring it out. But I don't get the impression from him that he sees name, image, likeness on the horizon and that's an opportunity for him to bolt. And maybe it was for Roy and Kay, we don't know. But it seems like that's been a narrative, like, oh yeah, you might as well just get out now before you have to deal with all that headache, and I don't think Boeheim's really too scared of it or anything like that.
Hey, did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including their limited time offers as well? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about what their favorites are. Just ask Tim and I. My favorite is the peanut butter brownie, but they've got a variety of other flavors as well, whether it's coconut, some fruit flavors, some other chocolate flavors, the salted caramel. There's a Built Bar for everybody. And if you haven't tried all the flavors yet, you can get a mix box as well where you will get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And not only do Built Bars taste great, but they're also healthy for you too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 net carbs. So order today and get that raspberry, the mint brownie, or do what I do, get the peanut butter brownie, or get whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your first order. Again, BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your first order. All right, so we're going to close this episode out with a poll that we put out on our account at @LO_Syracuse on Twitter. It was talking about Boeheim's Army, and we discussed a lot of the new roster and all that. You can check that out on yesterday's episode wherever you get your podcasts. So we posed the question, how many non-Syracuse guys is too many for Boeheim's Army? And the options that we gave out there were, should be all alums, so full on orange, all in the family, don't mind a few, no more than 5 outsiders, or I don't care, let's win. And I was actually a little shocked with the responses here. So don't mind a few, 42%, that was the leader, not surprised by that. But what came after that shocked me a little bit. Should be all alums at 34%. Followed by I don't care, let's win at 23%, and no more than 5 outsiders at 1%. I stand pretty firmly on the I don't care, let's win, but for it to be all alums at 34%, I was shocked by that. I thought that was a pretty astronomical figure from the Orange fans.
A little high for me, too, in terms of what I would have expected. I will say, I think I'm don't mind a few, which is with the majority at 42% there. And that's something that I talked about in the last podcast. But after we finished that podcast and a couple of our pals were listening to it, I did get a couple people text. And I think you brought up, Ty, at one point, you said if it's between Eric Devendorf and Tyrese Rice to take the last shot of a game, or maybe it wasn't that specific of an example, but something to that effect, you were like, you want Devo taking the shot. And a couple people reached out to me and said, how are you, like, it's a tough line to walk because the best player is going to end up taking the shot. And if they do add, let's say, 2 really good guys here from overseas elite, in theory, you probably
like
want
those
guys.
Let's say pie in the sky, Joe Johnson.
Yeah, okay. Let's just say Joe Johnson's on the team on Monday, right? He's taking the last shot. And then you're not, it's a tough line to walk between getting your wish of Devo still being the guy and winning. And they're straddling it pretty well right now. I think if it comes to 4 guys on the roster that are non-SU alums and they win, I'm very happy. But I got a lot of people that reached out and were like, I don't know, man. Why is it Boeheim's Army if there's 4 guys that have no tie to Syracuse whatsoever? And I kind of see both sides to this one. I'm sort of not staunchly on one way or the other. I would put myself as don't mind a few, but I see both sides. I see why some people are just using this as a way to watch their favorite players from the Syracuse glory days or whatever and just reminisce. And I totally get that that's why they want to do it. But also, it feels like those fans are still actively mad once they lose games. So it's a tough one.
Right. I get that because it's confusing, right? It's confusing, especially now that it's the Elam ending and every shot that ends a game is, quote unquote, a buzzer beater or a game winner. It is awkward when there's a guy who's outside the family who hits that shot. But at the same time, if they're pulling for you, I think there's some merit to that. If they are pulling to be on your team, that I think there still holds a little bit of weight there. So would I prefer it's Devo taking the shot? Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to have Devo or Malachi or Andrew White or CJ Fair
be the heroes of the tournament. But at the same time, I do think this team's been in the tournament long enough to the point where you should start to see and expect some more results if you are fully invested into it like some people are. And especially this fan base where the games are being broadcasted on the radio on top of it being on ESPN and all that stuff. This fan base is clearly invested in it, and I think you should want to win. And if that means bringing in some outside help, so be it. Because right. Guess what? These extra two players, probably not going to be Syracuse guys. Because if they were, we would probably know who they are right now.
And no doubt.
That's to say, like, I don't think it is going to be a Tyus battle. I don't think it is going to be a Deion Waiters, because if they were going to be on the team, I think we would have already known by now. They would have been on that initial graphic that came out that announced the team. And the fact that they aren't on that, and again, their choice, I don't care if they play or not. I'd love to see them on the team, but at the end of the day, I don't care if they're on the team or not. But
right. I also think about it from Eric Dievendorf's perspective as a player. If I was him, I'd want the best team possible, right? You're a competitor. Yeah. You're going all out. You're sacrificing a week that you could be doing something else, and actually probably more when you factor in practices and everything. You want to win. And honestly, he's probably sick of losing, as Kevin Belby said in that quote. So from a player's perspective, if I was a leader of that team, which would never happen, obviously, then I would be all for adding the best team possible. So I get it.
Yeah. And again, that's what it comes down to. Listen, we will never see a Boeheim's Army team that is just strictly non-Syracuse guys, right? Like, that's never going to happen.
Those days are probably over, yeah.
In fact, a Boeheim's Army team will probably never have less than, what, 60, 70% Syracuse guys? I should say 60% Syracuse guys.
Yeah.
I just don't see a world where that happens. So I don't think it's something you necessarily have to worry about. But if you're getting four or five guys that are from the outside, do it. Do it.
And let's be honest, too, this tournament's gotten so competitive and so good that I don't think an all-Syracuse team could win right now. Like, unless it was Carmelo and whatever.
Yeah.
But a realistic one, I don't think they're winning. They need other guys to win. So how do you convince the best Syracuse players to come to a team that is going to enter the tournament as not even close to a favorite? Like, you have to add some players that are quote-unquote stars from other areas to bolster the team a little bit to convince those good Syracuse players that it's worth their while and worth their time.
And look at the overseas elite team. Like, that is an all-star team from Europe and Asia and all those other countries that are out there and continents. Like, they are overseas. They are an all-star team. That is like saying, okay, we can only have a group of former Los Angeles Lakers, but they have to go up against the NBA All-Stars. Like, the NBA All-Stars are going to win that game every single time, and that's why we see overseas elite win this tournament pretty much every single year. And now is kind of the time to strike, because they're not going to be in it. They're not assembling that group, and they're going to be dangling a couple free agents out there. You've got a really good chance now, because you've already got a strong team, I think. You're adding a couple of outsiders that could be some quality contributors as well. And now you're probably going to add a couple more. It's intriguing. And right now, I mean, this is going to be as good a year as ever for this team. And the only thing that, as a Syracuse fan, that you could ask for more of is if the regional was played in Syracuse at OCC.
Yeah.
That is the only thing you could ask more right now.
Right. I agree with that. I think also, your expectations for them to win goes up. Like, for me, if this flops, I'll be pretty disappointed, honestly. Whereas if it's all Syracuse guys, then I probably come in with a different perspective of, yeah, this is just an opportunity for those guys to play again, play for the fans, for the community. We'll see how it goes. Now that they're going in on the win now mindset, whatever you want to call it, I feel like there's a little bit more pressure to succeed on the team.
Yeah. So we'll be following it. I'd love to see a Final Four run out of this group at least. So that's going to do it for us for this week on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. We will be back next week with some football stuff. We'll also get into some more hoops. And I think we're going to talk to our guy Brent Axe finally next week on the show. So stay tuned for all of that. For Tim, I'm Tyler. Have a fun, safe weekend, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there as well. We will talk to you guys next week.